you're listening to us by recording, you can get in on this too. Amen. You know, when you hear a prophecy, a prophetic word given to somebody, if it thrills your spirit, if it leaps in your spirit, if it's quickened to your spirit, you can receive it for yourself. If you're in a meeting somewhere and you hear a word given to someone else and it's quickened to your spirit, that's the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to grab hold of that too. I want you to believe it too. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, one such prophecy is one that was delivered to Barbara and I recently this past week. A trusted friend of ours in life and ministry for the past 15 years called and gave us this word. She said, I just felt impressed of the Lord to call and give this to you. She gave this on March the 29th, 2008. No matter where you are in the world or how you're listening to us, we're going to read this. If it's quickened to you, grab it. Amen? She gave it to Barbara and I personally, but anything that the Lord gives to us personally, we can grab hold of it as a congregation as well. Amen? The word of the Lord came saying, the floodgates are open. And the suddenlies are going to emerge suddenly. God has suddenlies, meaning He does things suddenly. Just when you think He up and died, suddenly He moves supernaturally. Amen? The suddenlies are the promises and the breakthroughs for which you have been waiting. The Lord told this woman, you pass this on to these people. You tell these people this. The time of acceleration is at hand, and the time of acceleration is now coming in a manifested state. When God says something's coming in a manifested state, He's saying you don't have to just take it by faith anymore. It's about to manifest in the natural. You're about to see it with your natural eyes, not just your spiritual eyes. Amen? In a manifested state, acceleration into your households. Sharing what we have, the gospel, and the financial floodgates are open. Say that with me. The financial floodgates are open. The mighty hand of God is bringing acceleration into our households, and with it comes abundance, deliverance, and the intimate desires of our hearts. Now, if that's quick into your spirit, you can grab that. Amen? That was given to us personally, but I felt in my heart, the Lord told me, you bring it here tonight, you share it with these people, these good, precious, faithful people, and you tell them, if it's quickened to their spirit, they can grab hold of it too. Amen? And He also put it on my heart to preach on that prophecy, to preach on God's suddenlies. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. If you'll go to Exodus chapter 14, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've had some really good times in Jesus since I've been saved. But I've had some real bummers too, I got to tell you. I've had some really lousy times since I've been saved. I've been so low I could have pole vaulted back up to the top of the curb. I could swan dive off a dime. I've been so low. Amen? You name the demon, they've been to our house telling us God won't come through. God hasn't come through, and you've got no right believing He will come through. Just like you. We're people just like everybody else, amen? Everybody's been down in the dumps. Just because you're born again doesn't mean that you're not going to have bad experiences. You know, you are. The devil hates you, amen? Impossible obstacles appear suddenly in all of our lives. But so does sudden deliverance. Sudden deliverance is biblical. It's scriptural. The scripture is full of sudden obstacles being thrown in the path of human beings just going about minding their own business. And then suddenly overwhelmed with obstacles that in the natural they could never overcome on their own. But just as suddenly as the obstacle came, God suddenly manifested and delivered them from an obstacle. Amen? What are we talking about tonight? God's suddenly. Amen. Hallelujah. God has sudden deliverance for all of us. Amen. As suddenly as some of you have gone into captivity to circumstances, God can just as suddenly get you out. Get us out. Get me out. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Did you go to Exodus chapter 14? Here we find Moses and Israel up against the Red Sea. They had just escaped from Egypt. Woo! Everything's hunky-dory. They're heading out into the wilderness. Finally, after 400 years, no more captivity. Amen? Hallelujah. Suddenly, all of a sudden, outnumbered, outgunned, caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. Well, I should say the devil in the shallow Red Sea. Amen? Here comes Pharaoh and his armies. Pharaoh had a change of heart after letting them go, and he told the greatest army in the world, the greatest world power of its day, go get them and bring them back. 20 minutes ago, everything was just cheesy. And lo and behold, they look behind them. Here comes the greatest world power of its day. They got the Red Sea in front of them, mountains to the left, mountains to the right. There's nowhere to go. Suddenly, they're captive again. They hadn't been free 20 minutes, so to speak. Amen? Hallelujah. But just as suddenly as the devil appeared, God suddenly moved. In Exodus chapter 14, in verse 21, he spoke to Moses. He said, Moses, what's in your hand? Use what's in your hand. In verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. You know, Exodus 15:8, if you want to put it in your notes, it says that the sea was congealed and that water is actually frozen. Right in the middle of the desert heat, God split the Red Sea to the east and to the west, to the left and to the right, and held it up there by freezing it in 115 degree temperatures. Amen. Not only did he deliver them suddenly, but he gave them air conditioning for the passage. Amen. Talk about a cool God. Hallelujah. And the children of Israel, in verse 22, went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. Wasn't muddy. Wasn't mucky. Amen. Their wagons weren't bogging down. Their cattle wasn't bogged down. They didn't even get their feet wet. They went across the Red Sea on dry ground. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on the left hand. Hallelujah. Suddenly, 6.5 million people are free. If God did that for 6.5 million people, what can He do for you and yours? Amen? The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, I am God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1 Corinthians 10:11 says that these things are written in the Old Testament for our admonition, for our instruction, and for our encouragement. Amen? Don't know what you might be bound to today. As a body here collectively, it seems that we've been bound to failure. Nothingness. Amen? But suddenly, and God sent that man from North Carolina through here on purpose. How long ago was he here? 4 or 5 months ago now. And he said, the Lord's put it on my heart to give you a word. The Lord has spoken to my heart to give you this word. After you've been preaching there for 1 year, He's going to bless you with explosive growth. He's going to send you people with money, people with real estate, people with gifts and talents to hook up with you and to help you to fulfill your vision. That word's for you. This is your church. Amen? It's not just my, see, it's God's church and we're God's family. Amen? And it will happen suddenly. Whoa, what did the Lord say? He said the floodgates were open, the suddenlies are now going to emerge suddenly, and the suddenlies are the promises and the breakthroughs for which we've been waiting. The time of acceleration is at hand. The time of acceleration is now coming in a manifested state, manifesting in the natural. Just like those two angels that came 3 weeks ago on Thursday night and Saturday night and appeared to Barbara and I. Something broke those two nights. Something broke over Cape Cod. Well, Pastor, I don't see anything. Well, knock it off, Eeyore. Quit your moaning. Amen. Not you folks. I'm just kind of making a little humor up here. Amen. We're going to keep our mouths in line with it. Amen. We're going to hook up with this prophecy. We're going to believe that acceleration is here. We're going to believe that the time of acceleration is now. Coming into a manifested state. Amen. we believe this is the time of our suddenly. Amen? You're going to hook up with us and believe that? Put your faith on it? Hallelujah. Look at, go back to the book of Genesis, if you would, to Genesis chapter 41. Got Joseph back there. Joseph experienced God suddenly. He's just minding his own business one day. Suddenly his big brothers sold him as a slave to Egypt because they didn't like his jacket. They didn't like his dreams, and they didn't like his little outfit. His cute little outfit. So they sold him as a slave. He spent 18 years as a slave. 18 years! Hallelujah. That's a long time. That's a long time to be in prison for something you didn't do. And you're believing God one day, next day you're in jail killing rats and cooking macaroni and cheese for 1,000 other prisoners. You didn't do anything wrong. He spent the next 18 years not complaining, being faithful, killing rats, and cooking macaroni and cheese. He's in charge of all the other prisoners. And not the macaroni and cheese in the blue box. The white box is five for a buck, the cheap stuff, the garbage, the junk. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Remember those boxes of macaroni and cheese, five for a dollar? You don't even see those anymore. If you get one for a dollar now, you're getting a bargain. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's because of what we've done to Israel. That's why gas is costing so much in America. That's why groceries cost so much in America. That's why so many homes are going into foreclosure in America. Because our president and our beloved born-again brother George Bush and Condoleezza Rice are putting pressure on Israel to give away what God gave them. And we're paying for it as a nation. Now, we're not afraid because we're subject to a higher economy. We're paying tithes and offerings, and God will always provide for us because we're blessers of Israel and we're obedient children of God. I just thought I'd throw that in there for free. Amen? Hallelujah. And now Condoleezza Rice has told them, no more settling, no more settling on the West Bank. That's what the Bible, the Amos, in Amos 3:9, he calls the West Bank the mountains of Samaria. Amos said God is calling his children to settle the West Bank. Condoleezza Rice says, you're not going to settle on the West Bank. Guess who's going to win? God. Hallelujah. God's going to win. Israel's going to win. Amen. Hallelujah. So here's Joseph in prison for nothing other than just obeying God, just being faithful. His brothers throw him in prison. 18 years a model prisoner. Nothing but slavery and faithfulness, killing rats, and as I said, eating the cheap brand of macaroni and cheese. Hallelujah. That didn't go over too big. But look right here. What happened to Joseph? Listen, he's just minding his business and suddenly he's in prison. What an injustice. But look here, 18 years later in verse 14, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and they brought him hastily or suddenly. That means to run. They told him, run up there, boy. Pharaoh's called. He needs some dreams interpreted. Amen? He needs some dreams interpreted. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. He shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. From rags to riches in the time it took for a shave and a haircut. Amen. Suddenly he was delivered. Amen. Listen, keep moving forward. We're going to keep moving forward. I encourage you, whatever obstacles you might be faced with, keep moving forward. All it takes is one phone call to come, one letter to come, one divine appointment to come. Just going nose to nose with one person God sends into your life, and suddenly your whole world will change. Amen. God knows where you are. Amen. He knows what he's doing. He hasn't forgotten you. Amen. He's got a good memory. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He never forgets. He's smarter than the smartest elephant. He never forgets where his children are, what they're going through. He's allowing us to go through some things corporately and individually on purpose. And he will suddenly thrust us over and above every obstacle because he said in Malachi 3:6, I am God. I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1 Corinthians 10:11, these things are written for our admonition, for our encouragement, and our instruction in righteousness. Amen. So I just want to encourage you. Take encouragement tonight in God's suddenlies. Amen. In God's sudden deliverance. Listen, Joshua and Israel, if you'll go over there to Joshua chapter 3, Joshua is like three or four books east of Exodus, Genesis, four or five books, not too far away. You can find it. Moses had already gone on to heaven. Joshua is now the new leader of the nation. He's about 80 years old at this point. Most people don't realize that. Most people see Joshua as a, you know, strapping 29-year-old. Joshua's about 80 years old right here. Amen. It was time to enter into the promised land on the other side of the Jordan. Hallelujah. Joshua leads everybody up to the Jordan, across the Jordan. And wouldn't you know it, suddenly the Jordan goes into flood stage. And the promised land's a half a mile away. We got 6.5 million people in that cattle. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, the day comes to go over there. Suddenly the river rises. There's no way to get over there. A sudden obstacle. Amen. Well, the spirit of prophecy came upon Joshua. And look what Joshua said in Joshua 3. Say amen if you're there. In verse 13, it shall come to pass, the Spirit of the Lord said through Joshua, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above. Can you picture that? He's going to cause it to stop flowing here and keep flowing down there while he opens a path wide enough, about 2 miles wide, for 6.5 million people to walk across dry shod. He prophesied it was going to happen first. Prophecy is history before it happens. Think on that one. Shall rest in the waters of Jordan, their feet, that the waters of the... They had to act by faith. They had to step into the water. As soon as they did, the waters parted. Shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap, or stand upon dry ground. Look at verse 17. It came to pass, the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan River, dry ground. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, not wet ground, not muddy ground. Amen? He made it possible for the cattle and the wagons and all that stuff to go across without being bogged down. This is supernatural. Amen? Until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. 1 minute, they're flooded with trouble. The next minute, they're flooded with deliverance. That's supernatural. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:19, when the enemy comes in, like a flood, God will raise a standard up against him. Some Christians read it this way. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. It doesn't say when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. It says when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard against it. Move the comma. Put it where it belongs. Did you get that? When the enemy comes in like a flood, our Father will raise up a standard against him. Amen. He won't leave us hanging. Amen. Malachi 3:6, God said, I am God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And 1 Corinthians 10:11 says that these things in the Old Testament are written for our admonition, for our instructionment, for our encouragement, so that we'll take hope from them. Amen? God's suddenlies are upon us. Amen? I receive that word of prophecy. Amen? I receive that word of prophecy and I pass it on to you in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. You can do that. You can do that. I heard just recently of a woman who came in just very recent years, maybe three or four years, came in from the mission field in Africa, discouraged. She was over there believing God to take the nation of Africa, trying to pastor at least the church, get something going out there preaching. Nothing happened. She came home discouraged. A man walked up to her in a service and he said, God told me to ask you, you want Africa? She came home to give up. She quit. No more. I can't do it. I must have missed God. It's not working for me. A man walked up to her in a service and said to her, the Lord told me to ask you, do you want Africa? Do you want me to give you Africa? The man didn't know her. And she said, yes, I do. I do. And he prophesied to her and he said, you go back and you preach my word and I will give you Africa. Well, she went back and she did that. And all of a sudden, it was easy to raise up churches. She started raising churches up on the left hand, and on the right hand, all of a sudden, all kinds of people are coming to her services. The Holy Spirit put her on her heart, take that prophecy I gave you, line pastors up. Give it to them. Give them the prophecy. Tell them if it's quickened to them, they can receive it, and I'll give them Africa. All the pastors who received the prophecy went out giving it to other pastors who received the prophecy, and they're all raising up churches full of people. Prophecy passed from one woman to multiple pastors, and God given her the nation of Africa through those pastors. Now, they're not the only ones. I mean, good Lord, are you familiar with the ministry of Reinhard Bonnke in Africa, holding crusades of anywhere from 500,000 to 2 million people per service? Talk about, they don't even use chairs. They just stand there, amen? They just stand there. He's got sound system that can be heard 5 miles away. Testimonies in his magazine. African men. I read one of a man who said he was crossing the street 5.5 miles away from the crusade. Crossing the street, he could hear through the huge sound system. They've got a huge sound system that's 4 or 5 stories tall over the crowds, interspersed throughout the crowd. They're just massive sound systems. He heard Reinhard Bonnke preaching 5 miles away from downtown in some small city. The conviction of God came into his heart. He fell on his knees on the sidewalk and got saved 5 miles away. I mean, Africa's being saved. My point here is, you can take this prophecy and it'll work for you if you believe it. Amen? Just like that woman took that prophecy, went back and shared it with pastors, and all of a sudden their churches are being filled up where they weren't before because they grabbed hold of the prophecy where the Lord told her, I will give you Africa if you believe me. Just don't quit. That encouraged me. We're in training for reigning. Keep growing, going forward. Amen. As we grow up in the faith, suddenly our hour of visitation will come. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't want to turn back. We can see the promised land just on the other side of the Jordan. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Listen, Joshua and Israel again. Go over there to Joshua chapter 6. This time it's Jericho. Everybody knows the story of Jericho. Amen. They get over the other side of the Jordan River into the promised land. And God tells them, I want you to go into Jericho, drive out the Canaanites, and destroy the city. Save the gold, save the silver, save the brass, and save the iron for the building of my temple, but destroy everything and everyone else. Well, by this time, the Canaanites and the people who lived in Jericho had seen the miracles God had done for Israel. They were frightened of these people. They were frightened of these people. We're going to Joshua chapter 6. We're talking about Jericho. They were frightened, so they locked the place up, and the Israelites couldn't get into the city. They couldn't get in to do what God told them to do. Everybody, the Canaanites, were all hiding out, and the gates locked, frightened for fear of their lives. Wouldn't let them in. So God said, so God came up with a weird idea. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a handful of soldiers. See, a lot of people misread that chapter, and they think that all the Israelites marched around the city of Jericho, and they didn't. If you go back and read it carefully, only a small portion of soldiers and a certain number of priests and the Ark of the Covenant walked around. One time a day for 6 days, while all of Israel, 6.5 million people, just stood back and watched silently, God said, don't say a word. Nobody speak. Nobody speak. 6 times, once a day, for 6 days. On the 7th day, go around 7 times. And when you blow the shofars on the 7th time, I'll knock those stinking walls right down. You go in there and take that city. Reminds me of Bill Cosby telling the story of, remember that old record album Bill Cosby talking about? God telling Noah to build an ark. Noah, I want you to build me an ark. Right. Remember that? When you were a little kid? On the big black CDs? What's an ark? Amen. You remember that. Amen. Well, God said, I want you to march around the city one time for 6 days, 7 times on the 7th day. Now, I want to say here, too, that Joshua is 80 years old at this point, and he did the marching with them each day. Even if it was just 5 miles around the city. Anybody walk 5 miles today? And on the 7th day, if it's just 5 miles around 7 times, that's 35 miles. This man supernaturally walked at 80 years old around that city, that 7th day with them. Well, they blow the horns, and let's look right here. Hallelujah. I neglected to tell you, when they blow the shofar, then all of Israel, all 6.5 million people, were to raise their voices in a shout. They had been silent for 7 days. And they did so. Look what happened right here. Joshua 6. I'm moving quickly because I want to get through all of this. Hallelujah. Verse 20. The people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great voice, that the wall fell flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen? So we need to keep on singing. We need to keep on praying. We need to keep on shouting. I'll do the shouting. I'll handle the shouting. I do that good, don't I? Hallelujah. You can do the praising. You can do the singing. You can do the confessing. You can do watching what you say and speak what God says over our situation. Amen. And suddenly, just when Satan's screaming in our face, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. God will cause the walls to come down. The barriers that have been thrown against us here on Cape Cod. Amen. Praise and worship isn't just for entertainment. It's for barrier breaking. It's for demon busting. It's for yoke destroying. I have had more people. Now I understand when Christians are babies. Remember that Outlink letter show? Born again Christians say the dumbest things. What was the name of that show? Kids say the dumbest things. It's just a little humor right there, okay? Hallelujah. I've had people say to me, Pastor, that's the best teaching I've ever heard. I'm not saying it is the best teaching anybody's ever. I'm just telling you what people have said to me. That is the best. I came out of that service. I never understood the Word of God the way that I did coming out of your services. But I got to have music, Pastor. I can't come. I got to have music. I've had multiple people say that to me. Oh, I got to have live praise and worship. They're babies. Faith doesn't come by singing. Faith doesn't come by being entertained in a church service. Faith doesn't come by music. Well, it can if we're singing the Word. Faith comes by hearing the Word. Music is for demon busting, yoke destroying, stage setting for the Holy Spirit of God. It's not for entertainment. Some churches, you see, they put everything they have into putting on one hell of a show with music, if I may. Amen? I mean, they mean well, but the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Road to hell is also paved with good conventions. Hallelujah. That just focus on music and prophecy and not the teaching of God's Word, that doesn't help anybody. It just makes people nutty. That's all it does. Amen. Pastor, I got to have music. I got to have prophecy. You don't prophesy enough. I prophesy enough. I prophesy when the Holy Spirit moves on me. I don't feel compelled to catch people with prophecy. If I catch them with prophecy, I'm going to have to keep them with prophecy. If prophecy is what's going to keep them, I don't want them. I'm going to catch them with the Word. And then I'll be able to easily keep them with the Word. I'm not going to catch them with coffee and donuts, because then I'll have to keep them with coffee and donuts. Pastor, I thought we were talking about the suddenlies. We are. We are talking about God's suddenlies, but I'm talking about the Spirit of God here. Amen? Look at Jesus and the disciples. Get over there to Luke chapter 8, and let me remind you again. Malachi 3:6, God said, I am God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1 Corinthians 10:11, the Apostle Paul wrote, and he said that all of these things that we're studying here tonight are written for our admonition, for our understanding, for our edification, for our comfort. Amen? Are you receiving edification and comfort and encouragement here tonight? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I could just give you donuts, get you all sugared up, and send you out of here. Amen. Hope you come back Sunday. Amen. You get tired of the donuts and I have to come up with muffins. You get tired of the muffins. We're not going to do that. We're going to fish with the right bait. We're going to fish with the Word. I'm going to say it again. Whatever we catch them with is what we're going to have to keep them with. So we're going to catch them with the Word of God. And we're going to keep them with the Word of God. Amen? If they want entertainment, well, praise be to God, they're not going to find it here. But if they want anointing, they'll find it here. Amen? I said they'll find it here. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, Jesus and his disciples, we're talking about, hallelujah, God's suddenlies. The floodgates are open, and the suddenlies are about to emerge in our midst. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord has spoken. Now in verse 22, it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, He said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And he meant what he said. He knew there was power in words. And they launched forth. As they sailed, he fell asleep. He knew his words were going to come to pass. He had nothing to worry about. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and in jeopardy. See, 1 minute they're doing fine, next minute they're in jeopardy. 1 minute they're just floating in the boat with Jesus. What could be better? What could be safer? What could be more sound? What could be more predictable? Floating in a boat with Jesus. And then suddenly, they're filled with water. Jesus, sawing logs, confident that the words he said would come to pass. He wasn't afraid. He's sleeping. Amen? Did I say that right, sawing logs? Hallelujah. Somebody's making fun of me for something. Amen? Hallelujah. They were filled with water. They were filled with unbelief, too. And were in jeopardy. And they came to Jesus. They woke him up saying, Master, Master, we perish. He arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. They ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? You look that up in the actual Greek. You know what he said? He actually said to them, where'd you leave it? Where'd you leave it? Where'd you leave your faith? When I went to sleep, you had faith. But somewhere between me falling asleep and me waking up, you've lost your faith. Where'd you leave it? That's what he actually said. Where'd you leave your faith? Amen? Listen, didn't Jesus say in John 14:12, he said, the works that I do, you'll do as well, only greater works you'll do because I go to be with the Father. He's training these guys how to do greater works. They could have rebuked the wind and the storm, but they didn't. You know, this is all new to them. We understand. Go easy on them. I wouldn't have done much better. Amen. If better at all. He said, where's your faith? And they being afraid wondered. They were awe-stricken, saying to one another, what manner of man is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. But the point is, 1 minute everything was fine, the next minute it wasn't. The sail set on forward, and the ship's going backwards. Somebody said, get Jesus! Where's Jesus? Oh, Jesus! He's sleeping in the boat. Because he said, let us go over to the other side of the lake. And he meant what he said. Amen? We can have what we say too. Amen? Well, Jesus arose suddenly, rebuked the circumstances, and all of a sudden it was right again. Amen? Hallelujah. And if you think something like this can't happen to you, and can't happen to us, you need another dip. If you think something like that can't happen to you and us, individually and collectively in your family and your individual lives and as a body, you need another dip. You think about that one. Amen? Hallelujah. Malachi chapter 3, God said, I'm God, I change not. Go to Acts chapter 16. We're moving quickly through this tonight. I am God, I change not. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, you got these three verses down by now tonight? Malachi 3:6, Hebrews 13:8, 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things are written for our admonition, for our encouragement, for our instruction in righteousness. Amen? God is still the God of the suddenlies. Amen? I don't know what you're going through, but I know your sea will part. I know your Jordan will dry. I know the walls will come down. I know the storm will cease. I know the prison doors will open. If you just keep your faith, if you just keep your faith on them, just keep your eyes on them, keep your eyes on the Word. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation, no test, no trial can possibly come into your life except that which is common to man. And with every temptation, test, and trial, God will provide the means of escape that you may be able to bear up under it. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forgotten us. He's right here. He's right here with us. Amen? He's in you. He's in me. And he's upon me right now. There is a spirit that comes within you, for you have an anointing of the Holy One that abides within, and you know all things. But the Spirit of not only is the Spirit of God on the inside of us, but the Spirit of God has come upon me tonight. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is not only within me, he's upon me to set the captives free. How do we do that? By the proper preaching and teaching of God's Word. Amen. Not donuts. Not just prophecy. Not music. The precious, holy, written Word of God. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 138, verse 2, "For Thou, O Lord, hast magnified Thy Word, even above all Thy name." God magnifies His Word even above His name. Even above the name of Jesus. Above every name. He magnifies His Word above His very name. Man, if God gives the Word such a place in His life, ought not we do the same? I should say, ought not we continue to do the same? Because it is what we're doing. Amen. Look at right here. I'll preach in the gospel, Paul and Silas. 1 minute, amazing miracles are following. Suddenly, they're falsely arrested, judiciously betrayed, beaten, placed in stocks for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul and Silas, they refuse to whine. They refuse to quit and blame God. They refuse to die there and just be fossilized in those stocks and bonds. By the way, people who don't believe in prosperity need to understand that Paul and Silas believed in prosperity. They were into stocks and bonds. Hallelujah. They learned it from Noah. Amen. Noah was able to float his stock while the rest of the world went into liquidation. So we're here in Acts chapter 16. Amen. Paul and Silas refused to whine and go backwards. They had come so far. They had tried so hard. They weren't about to quit. Amen. And we've come too far to quit. There's that voice again that I can't stand it when I listen to it on the CD. I say, Barbara, shut that off. Shut that off. Hallelujah. You get that tape on faith and patience for finances and you'll hear a terrible demonstration. That was that a demon come upon me? No, I'm demon free. Amen. Hallelujah. That's joy that comes upon me. I don't know how I go from so low to so high. Voice-wise, amen. Hallelujah. Look at right here in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, if you would. It's time to close this out. Amen. Hallelujah. At midnight, in the midnight of their lives, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, please say suddenly. Suddenly, say suddenly. Suddenly, say suddenly in the Amplified Bible, suddenly, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Ooh, boy, if you've been believing, hallelujah, God to help you. If you've been believing God to help you, and it looks like God's going to help everybody but you, hang in, baby, because your suddenly is coming. God is faithful. God is more faithful than any living human being you've ever known. Amen? Men will be faithful to you. Some men will be faithful to you part of the time. Some men will be faithful to you, men and women, most of the time. Some will do their best to be faithful to you all the time, but they never get the job done. But God, He always gets the job done. He's faithful every time. Someone walked up to me. No, they didn't walk up to me. They sent us an email. And they sent an email. Of course, everybody knows that God doesn't always come through. Hoo-wee! It's a good thing I wasn't armed. I'd have blown that computer right off the top of that desk. Talk about my father that way. Amen? Everybody knows God doesn't come through all the time. I looked at that and I looked at Barbara. I said, well, I know two people who don't know that. I know two people who are in the dark concerning that lie. God always comes through. God said in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no test, temptation, or trial that can possibly come into our lives except that which is common to man. Meaning, whatever you're going through, somebody's gone through it before you. Multiple people have gone through it before you, and God's got everybody out who trusted Him. That which is common to man, and God is faithful, not unfaithful. You can't say everybody knows God doesn't always come through when the Bible says God is faithful, and He will always provide the means of escape that you may be able to bear up under it. I hope that stirred you up tonight. Amen. God is faithful. Amen. You might be 1 week from victory. You might be 1 day from victory. You might be 1 hour from victory. Joseph spent 18 years killing rats. And then suddenly, a shave in a haircut, and he's the vice president of the world. Hallelujah. A shave and a haircut. He's the vice president of the world. Hang on. As I said, the Red Sea will open. The Jordan will dry up. The walls will come down. The storms will cease. The prison doors will open. God is faithful. Amen. Keep your spiritual antennas up. Keep your nose into the wind. Use what's in your hand. Move forward. You're in training for reigning. You're in training for reigning. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but our faithless God delivers from a few of them, depending on what side of the bed he got up on this morning. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers from them all. How dare anyone? Psalm 34:19 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord delivered him from all of his afflictions. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and worship God. Amen. As we dismiss this evening, listen, I've put my feet where I'm telling you to put your feet. Barbara's put her feet where we're telling you put your feet. Amen. From one hellish thing to another, but every time, God would suddenly send the answer. Every time, God suddenly sends the answer. Amen. Let's just lift our hands and worship Him for His suddenlies. Father, we thank You. The floodgates are open, Lord. You sent us the Word. We now need to receive the Word. The prophetic utterance will not work if we don't mix it with faith. Amen. Unbelief will hinder a prophetic utterance, even when God speaks it. Even if it's God speaking it, if we don't believe it, it won't come to pass. All prophecy is conditional. We must believe it. We must expect it to come to pass. And the Lord has spoken. The floodgates are open. The suddenlies are going to emerge. Suddenly. The suddenlies are the promises and the breakthroughs for which you've been waiting. The time of acceleration is at hand. The time of acceleration is now coming in a manifested state. Acceleration into your households, sharing what we have. The financial floodgates are open. Expect. The mighty hand of God is bringing acceleration into our households, and with it comes abundance, deliverance, and the intimate desires of our hearts. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a conscious act of our God-given free human will, Father, we put our faith on that Word, Father. We believe You for a manifestation of that Word. Those who are here in this room, in this service, those who are listening to us by radio, Father, by internet, by recording, wherever they might be, put Your faith on it. Put Your faith on it. Put Your faith on it. It won't work if you don't mix it with faith. But Father, we're mixing it with faith. We say the will of the Lord be done. We say amen, amen. We say, so be it. We say, so be it. In Jesus' name, Father, let there be a manifestation of that which You have spoken. In Jesus' name. And we will give You all the glory for it. In Jesus' strong name. Let's go out of here believing tonight. Let's go out of here rejoicing. Let's go out of here with the spirit of expectation. Unleashing expectation in God's suddenlies. 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 1 minute. It seems like you're defeated. Next minute, you're up over the top. 1 minute seems like you're at the bottom of the barrel. Next minute, you're standing on the barrel. For You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Oh, glory be to God. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Father. We are above and not beneath. Say, I am above and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. In Jesus' strong name. That's the promise of God from Deuteronomy chapter 28. Glory. Glory.